Luke chapter 10. Would you notice with me verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10. I want for us to consider tonight what's involved with studying the Bible. How do I study the Bible? Luke chapter 10, notice verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice that, and heard what he had to teach her. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we're able to sing praises to you. Lord, I just thank you now for this opportunity that we have to preach and study your word. Father, I just thank you, Father, for the service this morning and the Sunday school hour, the nursing home service this afternoon. Lord, again, the proclamation of your word. But Father, we have an opportunity once again to see what your word has to say for us, even in how to study the Bible and get something for ourselves. Lord, I pray that you teach us tonight through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You notice there it says, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So it's very important to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice then, it says, and she had a sister called Mary. And notice what she chose. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet to hear his word. Notice how important it is to spend time in hearing the word of God. Then it says Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now how many times we have gotten so busy that we didn't have time for the word of God? We're busy serving God, but we don't have time for the Bible. And notice here it says, she came to the Lord and said, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? In essence, she's blaming Jesus for tying up Mary's time here and not being able to help her in the kitchen. Bid her therefore that she help me. Send her out to the kitchen, Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, there's many times I've put my name in there. Daniel, Daniel. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Notice again, she's cumbered about much serving. Oh, she's doing good things. She's serving the Lord. She's welcomed him into their household. But notice she's careful. She's full of care and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Jesus, in essence, is saying to her, simplify life. Simplify things. Keep the main thing the main thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Years ago, I came across this little saying here in relation to the Word of God and the work of God. Listen carefully. It says, it is easier to do the work of the Lord than to study the Word of the Lord. But if we fail to study the Word of the Lord, we will never be effective in the work of the Lord. You notice here, Martha would never ultimately be effective in the work of God unless she spends time with the Lord. Now, I want for us to understand various terms that are related to the study of the Bible. First of all, the term revelation. Revelation. God reveals to man what he could not learn on his own. We have to have God reveal things to us because we cannot know them by ourselves. First of all, in regard to revelation, there's general revelation. I want you to notice with me Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. While you're turning there, the first thing that God uses to reveal himself to us is history. Won't take time to look at it, but Acts chapter 7, Stephen, as he's dealing with the Sanhedrin, he's dealing with the Jewish leaders, he basically rehearses Jewish history and gives an account of how God had worked in leading them up to that point and even the coming of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. But again, we understand that God reveals himself to us through history. History is his story. But notice also in Romans chapter 1, God also generally reveals himself through nature. Let's remind ourselves again of Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? It's manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without an answer before God someday, because He has revealed, generally speaking, He has revealed to everyone His existence through nature, through creation. But also, Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, notice also, generally speaking, He has revealed Himself through the conscience. It says in verse 14, "For when the Gentiles," Romans chapter 2, verse 14, "which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." I think it was just yesterday I read an article that it was an answer to these atheists that are writing all kinds of new things here in supposed teaching in relation to the fact there is no God. And let me just point out again, America has been buying the atheists, new atheists of our day, books by the millions here in so-called Christian America. But basically this author is writing an answer to these atheists, these what they call the new atheists, the four atheists, anyway, I don't remember the terminology that they had for themselves, but the horsemen, the four horsemen of the atheists, or what, I don't remember now, but basically as he's pointing out some things in relation to this, atheists try to explain the existence of the conscience without God. And basically it's nothing more than a circular reasoning. The conscience evolved and all those things. You cannot explain the conscience without God. Because you understand that, they reject the Word of God, and in reality the law of God is written in our conscience. But again, general revelation, but also special revelation. John chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ, God's Son, took on human flesh to reveal God to man. No man has seen God at any time. But God the Son came to this earth, took on human flesh, so that He could reveal God to us. So, special revelation through Jesus Christ, but also through the written Word of God. Listen to me, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. All right, so Jesus Christ has come to reveal God to man. But notice also God has given us the written Word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, by the way, the title often in our Bibles is not accurate. The revelation of St. John the Divine is not accurate. Notice here we have the title of this book right in the first line of this book. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." I want you to notice here as we look at this book, it says there was an angel that kind of, in essence, acted these things out for him. It says, verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Those are the Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." But you notice again, special revelation. God has revealed Himself through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and also through the written Word of God. All right, so we have revelation. Another term that I want for us to consider tonight is inspiration. Remember we talked about that in, I believe it's the first study in our series here on Come and See and the Discipleship and so on. But by inspiration, we're talking about God the Holy Spirit giving every word to man. Remember it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1:21, it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost gave every word that was to be found in the Bible. It wasn't just concepts and just generalities, that God gave every word that's found in this book. So inspiration, third term, is preservation. Let me remind you again of Psalm 12:6-7. Psalm 12:6-7. Again, these are very important terms related to our study of the Bible, because there are many who will say that there are errors that have come into the Bible over the centuries. Well, notice here it says in Psalm 12:6-7, the words, notice individual words of the Lord, are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve what? Them from this generation forever. As we look back to verse 6, we see what them is referring to. The words of the Lord. Notice here, he will keep them and preserve them from this generation forever. I believe that God has supernaturally preserved his words in the English language in the King James Bible. And I believe in other languages we should strive to have an equivalent of this in all these other languages around the world. By the way, there's a lot of languages around the world that used to have something based on the Old Testament Masoretic text and the New Testament Textus Receptus. They used to have a pure Bible. But the Bible societies came into those countries and replaced the pure Word of God with a corrupted text. So again, preservation. God has preserved, God has supernaturally protected the Word of God from error. Now, here's where we're getting tonight as far as our study of the Bible. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, illumination. Illumination. God the Holy Spirit helps us and enables us to understand the Bible. So notice here, the Holy Spirit does not just give us the Bible, but He also helps us to understand the Bible. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and following. But as it is written, so we're talking about the written Word of God, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, generally speaking, a lot of people will say that refers to heaven. Now, I believe in the context, it's not necessarily referring to heaven, but the things that God has revealed to us. Because it goes on to say in verse 10, in the context, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. As we talked about revelation, inspiration, and preservation, notice here, He has revealed these things by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, the things that we cannot know about God, that God has kept for Himself, and then He has revealed some of those things to us. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of Christ, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Remember, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says that you received our teaching not as man's words, but as it is in truth the words of God. Notice comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why we cannot pull a verse out of context and say, well, here's what the Bible says. No, we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You notice that an unsaved person cannot fully understand what this book says. They might read some words on a page, they might get a general idea of what it's saying, but they cannot, there's a blinder up that God in this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a blinders up that keeps them from understanding, and so the Holy Spirit is not able to teach them. Again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Notice with me also 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Again, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us understand the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now notice verse 27. But the anointing, again, I believe it's a reference here to the Holy Spirit in context, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Well, I guess I don't need church after all. I have the Holy Spirit, I don't need anybody to teach me. Well, I want you to consider that God manifested His Word through preaching, so obviously God the Holy Spirit uses teaching to help us understand the Bible. Joseph says, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. But you notice here, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us to understand, in other words, to illuminate what the Bible says, what it means. Again, the unsaved person does not have the Holy Spirit, so they cannot fully understand what the Bible says. Now, also, as you understand that, then, illumination, God the Holy Spirit helps us to study the Bible. Last term I want for us to consider, or actually the second to last, is interpretation. Interpretation, because we're getting down to where I want to land here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. My last point before our final point. Interpretation. God helps a believer to understand what a passage means. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You notice that phrase there, rightly dividing the word of truth. It means to cut it straight. It speaks of a straightforward presentation of truth. In other words, it's talking about dividing truth from error. Notice we get that through study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The word study carries the idea of diligence, of working hard. Notice a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I used to think when I was, as a teenager, was first called to preach, I used to think, what in the world am I going to preach for 50 years, 60 years, however long God gives me to preach? Now I'm finding out I can't find enough opportunities to preach what God has given to me. I want you to notice different things. It says here again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to consider that the different denominations that we have today is a result of error regarding interpretation. For example, we talked to somebody today that's in a Church of Christ assembly tonight. Well, as you understand that, they have a false teaching concerning baptism. All right, yeah, they believe in Jesus, but the transaction of salvation is not complete until they're put under the water. That is heresy, that is error, that is damning people to hell. But again, different denominations are a result of misinterpretations of Scripture. All right, you go back to the Bible. There was one church in Jerusalem. One church. It doesn't even say there was Baptists, though I believe they were Baptists back then because they hold to the same things that Baptists hold to today, biblically. But here's what I want you to understand. How is it that we can have a proper understanding and interpretation of Scripture? First of all, you have to look at the context. You have to look at the context. Let me give you another illustration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a phrase that's found there, unknown tongue. There are a lot of people who will pull that statement out of context and say, see, God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to have some heavenly prayer language. An unknown tongue. It's a heavenly language. You look at the context, that's not what it's talking about at all. I want you to notice, consider also, word meanings. Word meanings. One of the things that I use as I try to understand what some of the words in the Bible mean, by the way, we don't need a modern Bible, we just need a dictionary to understand what our English language is all about. We've been dumbed down to the point now where, well, a dictionary, I can't even figure out how to use those things. Well, again, as you understand, there are words sometimes that we do not commonly use anymore. So all you have to do is get out a dictionary. For example, superfluity of naughtiness, a passage we'll look at here in a moment. Superfluity, what in the world does superfluity mean? I'll tell you a little bit later. But again, get a dictionary out to study what the words mean. But also other passages. Remember we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why I believe it's very important for us to look at cross-references as we're studying the Bible. What does this other passage say? The cults will pull a verse out of context. For example, 1 Corinthians 15:29 says, talks about being baptized for the dead. The Mormons pull that out of their context, pull that verse out of its context to prove their false doctrine of being baptized for somebody who has already died. That's heresy. My being baptized for somebody who's already dead is not going to save their soul. So once again, these cults will pull things out of context and not compare Scripture with Scripture. Someone has said the Bible is the best commentary on itself. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. But also culture. Culture. Going back to tongues in the church at Corinth, one of the things that's helpful for us to understand why there were so many different tongues in the Corinthian church is because the city of Corinth was a major commerce center. It was a major center of commerce, and constantly they would have foreigners coming through their city. A foreigner does what? They speak another language, another dialect. In Acts chapter 2, as you study the words there, those were known languages that people spoke. In fact, the Greek words used are dialectos, we get dialect from, and glossa, glossary, a list of words. Those were known languages. So why is it that the Christians in Corinth had all kinds of different tongues that they could speak? So that they could proclaim the gospel to those who were traveling through their city. So again, the cultural setting is helpful also in our understanding of Scripture. Finally, application. Application. Let me remind you again, God gives revelation. He reveals truth to mankind. Inspiration is the recording of that revelation. Preservation is the protection of those words. Illumination and interpretation is God the Holy Spirit helping us to understand the Bible. But I want to point out something. I can understand what the Bible means and still fall short of what God has in mind. You see, God wants me to apply it to my life. Application. Listen to me, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and here we'll see here this superfluity that I was talking about. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. All right, so we're talking even the Bible comparing Scripture with Scripture. Filthiness of the spirit and body. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And superfluity of naughtiness. Now, I think we can figure out what naughtiness means. You know, all we have to do is look at other people's children, because ours were never naughty. We look at other people's children or grandchildren, but they're naughty. You know, we had perfect children, so our children were never naughty. We know what naughtiness is. But what is superfluity of naughtiness? The word superfluity means overflowing. So notice here, lay aside all overflowing naughtiness. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word engrafted has the idea of being implanted. It's like a seed that's being implanted. It's interesting, the Bible elsewhere calls itself like seed, like the seed of the sower. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I heard a preacher say, too many times our education exceeds our obedience. I wrote that down in my Bible. It's like how true that is. How many times we hear things but we don't do anything about it? Many times our education exceeds our obedience. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right, so James is using the illustration of the mirror. It's like us looking into this mirror of the Word of God here, and we see, wow, I need to change that. You know, it's like in the morning, you look in the mirror, I got to get my hair in place, and I got to get my, you know, ladies, you got to get your makeup on, and you know, men got to get their whiskers shaved off, and you got to get the booger that's hanging out the side of your nose that was there from last night, and all those things. But you notice here what it says. We're looking into the perfect law of liberty, and I need to change that. That's not like Christ. Oh, the Bible says this, I've got to change that. It's like we're looking into the perfect law of liberty, and we see what needs to change, and we walk away from it doing nothing. That's what he's talking about. We see what needs to change in the mirror, and we walk away and do nothing about it. That's why he says we are to apply the Word of God to our lives. We are to be doers of the things that we learn in the Bible. Notice with me Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let me give you a biblical principle here related to application and interpretation of the Bible. Not all Scripture is to me, but all Scripture is for me. I want to say that again because I believe that's helpful for us to understand in how the Bible applies to us. Not all Scripture is to me, but all Scripture is for me. For example, before we look at Romans 15, verse 4, I have heard preachers talk about walking around their city or driving around their city and claiming that city for Christ, like Joshua did claiming Jericho before the walls fell flat. I'm not sure that's a good application. Claim my city for Christ. There are many preachers who teach that, and I do not yet know of one city that's been claimed for Christ. Evidently, there's some other things we need to learn from it than just driving or walking around our city or town. Notice again, not all Scripture is to me. That was written to Joshua and Israel before they took over the city of Jericho at God's command. But there are things we can learn from that story. Scripture is for me. Notice it says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As Paul is writing here about Israel and the application for our lives, verses 1 through 5, he explains, you know, Israel. Then it says here in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. So notice here, here's the application to our lives. We are to learn from this Old Testament example. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Notice here again the application to our lives. God wants us to learn the lessons from these Bible accounts. And let me give you several things here that help us in our application of the Word of God. Let me give you an acrostic, P-R-E-S-S. Years ago I came across this, and I found it very helpful to share this with people to help them be able to find something from the Bible that they can apply to their lives. First of all, P. P stands for pray. Ask God to teach you from His Word. Why is it that people do not get more from the Bible? Because they've never asked God to show them things from the Bible. It says in Psalm 119, verse 12, "Teach me thy statutes." Lord, teach me. I want to see what the Bible has to say. R in the acrostic stands for read. All right, so we have pray, then R, read. Read the passage several times. You know why most people don't get things from the Bible that they can apply to their lives? Because it's a checklist. I check it off. I check it off. I check it off. I spend more time praying through the Bible than I do reading through the Bible. I actually have a Bible at home that I'm going through again. I actually had set it aside for a while, and I'm actually going back through it again. I have ACTS. Remember I've mentioned the ACTS acrostic for prayer? I have ACTS written down in the margin of that Bible, just drawing attention to the various things that I can pray back to God. All right, so pray, read the passage several times. Sometimes when it's hard to understand something, you have to go through the passage several times just to be able to get the understanding and grasp the general concept of what's being taught. E, examine. Record insights you gain from Scripture. Record insights you gain from Scripture. So in other words, we're examining to see what the Bible says, and I'm writing things down. Now, from time to time, I find that I have to get some whiteout out because I didn't quite grasp the passage or I wrote something down before. I'll white it out, and then I'll write what the Bible really says as I've studied it out in more detail. But again, examine. Record these things down. I personally use a wide margin Bible. I don't use a study Bible. I use a wide margin Bible. And as I study out a passage, I'll jot thoughts down in the wide margin of my Bible. I'm creating my own personal study Bible. S stands for say back to God the things you have learned. Say back to God the things that you have learned. And of course, as we're doing that, we're saying, Lord, help me obey what you've taught me. So P-R-E-S, the last S, stands for share. Share what you discover with someone else. Share what you discover with someone else. I want you to consider that God teaches you things from the Bible so that you can help somebody else with that truth. God shows it to you often, in many cases, so that you can help someone else with that same situation. Listen to me, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. All right, so the steps to application, pray, read, examine, say it back to God, and share it with someone else. Listen to me, Hebrews chapter 5, the goals of application. What does God want to accomplish with the application of the Bible? Hebrews chapter 5, notice verses 11 and following. Of whom, talking about Melchizedek here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, let me time out there. We often think, well, you know, that's the pastor's job. He stands up and teaches. You know, that's Brother Wayne's job in Sunday school. He's the Sunday school teacher. I want you to consider, we'll see a passage here in a moment. Teaching is more than just standing up in a classroom. Teaching is also discipleship. As you teach others the things that you've learned from the Bible. So notice here again, they were at this point in their spiritual lives supposed to be teaching other people things, but they're needing the first principles, the foundational truths of the oracles of God. And become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's why many people cannot discern right and wrong anymore in churches today. Notice they have not used the Word of God to the point where they are able to discern between right and wrong, between good and evil. I want you to notice first and foremost, as we apply this passage here, as far as the goals of application, we must see continual change in our lives by living biblical principles. We must see change in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Also relation to that, Romans 12 verse 2 says, Be not conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Don't be looking and acting and thinking like the world. But be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How is it that your thoughts are brought into our captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ? By filling it with the Word of God. You know, if we're filling our minds with corrupt television programs or whatever the case may be, our thinking is going to get corrupt. Why is it that we can find, here in America, we can find 3-4 hours to watch TV every day, but we can't find even a half hour to read the Bible? It's no wonder our thinking is wrong today. We must see change, continual change in our lives as we live the principles of the Word of God. A second goal of application, to teach others what we learn from the Word of God. Remember, it says again in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, by now you should be teaching others. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It is God's desire for us to be teaching others the things that we find in the Bible. Now, notice with me 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see here what Paul tells Timothy in relation to what we often call, or commonly call, discipleship. This is something that everyone should be involved in. We'll look at this in more detail in a later study, but notice it says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2, let's look at the context, verse 1 and 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, all right, so this is a teaching situation, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. We live in a day when people are wanting to, preachers especially, are wanting to find something new and something shocking so that you attract attention. Notice here, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice there are 4 generations are mentioned. But again, we are to teach others what we learn from the Word of God. A third goal of application of the Bible is to grow spiritually. Notice again Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to see something in relation to this milk and meat. We must grow to be a self-feeding Christian. Let me ask you, how is it that you get things from the Bible? Is it just from a preacher? Is it just from the Sunday school teacher? Is it just from a devotional book? Is it just from those things? I want you to notice here what he says again. But you have become such, at the end of verse 12, you become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Strong meat is solid food. Solid food is something that you feed yourself. I want you to notice here the difference between milk and meat. Milk is pre-digested food. Now, I often joke about it, but often have a big glass of chocolate milk on Sunday morning just to give me some energy. That's why I'm hyper, I guess, probably. But also I have 4 pieces of honey toast on Sunday mornings as well. Now you really understand why I'm high-strung and hyper. I don't know why I'm doing it tonight because I'm tired, but I still feel high-strung. I want you to think about this, though. I went to the refrigerator this morning, and I did not get out of the refrigerator a gallon of grass. I went to the refrigerator, and I got a gallon of milk that I poured into a glass. I mixed some chocolate into it, and I turned that white milk into brown milk, my favorite kind of milk. But I want you to think about this. Milk is pre-digested food. What does that cow do? It goes out there and gathers in grass, and then we won't think about the rest of it does. It lies down underneath the shade tree and meditates on that grass a little while and turns all of that into milk. Milk is pre-digested food. I want you to think about this. If all you get from the Bible is something from church or a devotional book, you're getting milk. Why? I have taken the time to pre-digest what I'm giving you tonight. Hours of study and so on. As you think about this, I am giving you pre-digested food. Milk. what you do with that determines whether or not you have strong meat. Right? So you think about the solid food. Here it says, but meat, strong meat, belongeth to them that are of full age, spiritual maturity, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's using the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting milk, but are you taking this, even as I'm teaching you tonight how to study the Bible, to get something for yourself? Are you taking what you're learning and putting it and applying it to your lives? What we need is a self-confrontational Bible study. Self-confrontational Bible study. You know, preaching wouldn't bother people as much, probably, if they would learn how to study the Bible in such a way that the Bible confronts them and their sin. First of all, S stands for, what does the Bible say about God? So as I study the Bible, I try to look for things about God, His names, His attributes. So a self-confrontational Bible study, and by the way, I'm using the acrostic SMACK. We all need a good SMACK every day. S stands for, what does the Bible say about God? M, what verse should I meditate upon? What verse should I meditate upon? Even our Sunday school lesson this morning, I emphasized John 1 and verse 41 and 42. I brought out a thought that I wanted to emphasize. We're meditating and pondering on those truths. Right, so M, meditation. A, for me, how does this apply? What does this mean to my life personally? C, what will I do to change? You see, as I'm reading the Bible, God wants to show me something that needs to change in my life. And then K, what truth do I know that will be sin if I do not obey it? James 4, verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What do I now know that will be sin if I do not obey it? Let's bring this by way of application to our lives here tonight. I want for us to determine what we have allowed into our lives to hinder us. Even as Martha. Martha allowed something into her life, something good. She allowed something into her life that hindered her from spending time with the Lord and hearing what He had to say. I've listed some examples in my notes. Maybe it's a lack of discipline. Some people just do not have character to go to bed at night and to get up early to be able to spend time in the Bible. I do not believe there's anything good on television most of the time, actually, but definitely not late at night. By the way, I just heard of a contemporary Christian rock group that made an appearance on The Tonight Show. They had no business. Well, that just shows their spiritual condition. But anyway, a lack of discipline. I know of young people who will stay up until wee hours of the morning playing with their video games. Is it any wonder they can't get up in the morning and spend time with the Bible? Sometimes there's too many distractions. Television, extra work that's not needed, and possessions, distractions often keep us from more time in the Bible. Time pressures, our schedule being too full. Again, like Martha, so busy serving God, serving the Lord, that I don't have time to listen to what He has to say in the Bible. Sometimes I'm too tired to concentrate. Not learning effective methods, even as we've talked about tonight. Sometimes it's sin that keeps us from getting something from the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep Thy word. No, I can't go there because that will keep me from obeying what the Bible has to say. Sometimes it's sin in our lives that keeps us from getting more from the Bible. But I believe if somebody is struggling with getting something from the Word of God, then we need to challenge them with whether or not they're even saved. Remember it says again in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I remember a man, in fact, I think I shared his story in a lesson before on the devil and so on, but remember I said that
after he was delivered from the occult, he was studying with the Mormons. And as I would share things from the Bible, show him the error of the Mormons, he just could not see it. Ended up joining up with them. There were blinders there. Yeah, he would read words on a page, but he just could not get it. I believe that was evidence that he was not even saved. So again, what is hindering you from getting more from the Bible? Let's bow before God here even tonight, that I'll remove those hindrances and we'll choose the good thing like Mary, to be able to spend time listening to what God has to say in His Word. Father, I thank You for the truth of Your Word here tonight. And Father, I thank You for giving us help even in Your Word to study the Bible and get something for ourselves. Some very practical things. Lord, help us to be doers of the Word. Doers of what we learn from the Bible. And not just here. Lord, so many times we learn things that we don't put to practice. Lord, help us to apply Your truth to our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.